If you have your study book tonight, because we're going through this together as a church on Wednesday nights, the discipleship study entitled Continue, then great, take that out to page 102. And if you don't have a book or you haven't secured one yet and you'd like to get one, let us know. But we have handouts tonight. Our men are coming forward. They have them in their hands. So if you need one, just lift up your hand and they'll get one to you. And hopefully you've got a pen. If you need a pen, let them know. They'll go find you one. They'll steal it from somewhere and see that you get it. All right? All right. Very good. So we want you to be able to follow along. And if you take your Bibles, would you do that, please? Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. A section here, what I would call the instruction on prayer. Instruction on prayer. Luke chapter 11, look at verse 1. I mentioned it as a preview earlier in our service tonight, but it says here in verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. Now that's where the motivation came from. He was praying. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So there's a couple of things to note here. Number one, as I said earlier, John the Baptist must have been a prayer warrior, in that he was known to have taught his disciples to do what they are seeing done in the Lord Jesus Christ's life. But secondly, as I said earlier, we have a motivation here. When does this subject come up? It comes up as the Lord Jesus is praying. May I remind you, it is good to have a time and place where prayers are public. Whether it's in church or whether it's in your home, whether it's devotions or whether it is around the table before you dig in, public praying. It's good. Good for your children to hear you pray. It's good for people to hear their pastor pray. It's good to hear saints of God, that are seasoned and have walked with the Lord a long time. It's good to hear them pray. We call on men in here to pray. By the way, let me just add this. If there are some of you men that I haven't called upon, but you wouldn't mind praying, I'm still new. I've only been here a little more than a year and a half. I need you to let me know. I say, preacher, you never call on me. No offense. I just don't think of it. Brother TJ may not think of it. So if you'd like to be called upon from time to time, let me know. And if there's a reason why I should not have you to pray, I'll probably tell you right there. But I doubt there's anybody like that. So we're good. We're good. Okay? But honestly, that's just a little housekeeping matter there. If you'd like to pray and you don't ever get called upon, that's just an oversight. But it can be a matter of clarification. Just let me know. And some of you have done that, and I appreciate it. It helps me as a new pastor. But public praying is good. It's good in the same sense as it is why we sing the hymns. Why do we sing hymns in this church? There's great doctrine, great truths of God that are being portrayed, given, taught, worshiped over. Good praying is teachable moments. Good praying is encouraging. I love to hear when people are praying for me, or I love to hear someone just enjoy God and really get a hold of the Lord in prayer and pour their heart out. And so there's a place for public praying. Now, you know Christ taught on the dangers of those who pray only in public to be seen, you know, by men and to be praised by men. Then, Lord, he discourages that. So we don't pray performance to impress anybody. But as a church, it's good to pray. It's good to pray publicly, corporately in the house of God. And 1 Timothy chapter 4 teaches that we should pray publicly in the church, and we've dealt with that before already in our study of Timothy. But in this sense, these men have heard the Lord pray, and that's impressed upon them. And so here's what happens. They said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. And so in verse 2, he responds. So what we're about to read is basically a response to the question, Lord, would you teach us? So the Lord is in teaching mode. Verse 2, and he said unto them, in essence, he's like, all right, you want to know how to pray? Here's how you do it. When ye pray, say. A key word is say. He's going to tell us in this passage, here's what you say. This is how you speak to your Father. This is how you speak. This is how you say it. This is how you pray. And so we're going to get a model prayer. It's not the Lord's prayer, even though we give it that traditional title. It is your prayer. It's how you are to say, how you are to speak to your Father. So it's a great model. And what we can do with this is that we can take this model and apply it to my regular prayer life and make it kind of fit that model and make sure that when I'm praying, I have these elements in my prayer. You don't strictly say the words as a magical formula, but you do take the structure and the subjects of this prayer and you use it and you then, like a template, compare it to my prayer life and say, Lord, am I including these ingredients or these truths and principles in my own prayer life? So it's a model. It's a template for you to follow. So look at your prayer life tonight and compare it and say, you know what? That's one aspect of prayer. I just don't do that much. For instance, the Lord said this, and we're going to get into this a little bit deeper now in a moment, but he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many of us spend a little time reflecting on the fact we have a Father and that He's in heaven. And His name is holy. So am I praying? When was the last time I just stopped with all the requests and all the burdens and all the tears, just stop and say, Lord, I'm glad You're my Father. What a joy, what a privilege it is to call You, Father. Lord, You're many things to me. I want to say You're my best friend. You are my help in a time of need. And Lord, I'm so grateful that You're my Savior. If You hadn't found me in Your mercy, I'd be lost and on my way to hell. But now, as a saved child of God, because of what Your darling Son did at Calvary, oh Lord, the joy of just being able to call You Father, I want to say again, I'm glad I can call You Father. You start your prayer that way, it's going to get on. You're going to enjoy yourself. I'm doing it just preaching, and I'm all fired up. I learned this in seminary. We had a class in seminary on prayer, the history of prayer, and the I think it was called the history and the practice of prayer. And I love, it was one of my favorite classes of all the 10 years of seminary I went through, stretched out because you only did it in the summer and winter months. One of my favorite classes. And I remember the teacher I had we had two teachers, one of which was a doctor, Bill, who was excellent on church history, so we got into the historical part of prayer. But then they brought in a man that he grasped the essence of glory, the glory that's in prayer. He so impressed me in that week of seminary, I had him to come and preach at my church, and we have, from there on, have struck up a great relationship. He's like a mentor in my life, and God has used him greatly in my life. I wouldn't be where I'm at today, wouldn't for him, God using him. And in that week of seminary, he said, men, I want to teach you how to take this prayer and make it, and I want you to practice this. And so some of our assignments was to implement this model in our praying. And it opened up a whole new world for me in my praying. Not that you strictly have to follow it like some magical formula. It's not that. But it is an eye-opener. If the Lord Jesus said, now you need to say these things. This is what you need to observe. And this is worthy of our attention. Because if you're not careful, your praying is either going to be based on what you've heard from family members, or how the preacher did it in church, or the way you've just always done it. And it's good to go back to school, sign up for a class, and say, Lord, in the school of prayer, take me to the next level. And always, always be in school when it comes to praying. Never graduate. So there's some areas of prayer we need to grow in, and maybe this study will help us tonight. We're looking at page 102. That's introduction. Let's get into it, all right? The Bible here begins in our study with Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. So, the very beginning in the book of Acts, in the early church, as it was an infant church here, we have prayer being the foundation. And I would tell you that any ministry that's worth its salt has to be based on prayer. Now, in your notes, you're going to put, first of all, number one, pray with other Christians. Christians is the word you need there. Christians. We're learning how to pray. The early church prayed together. Prayer with other Christians has a way of strengthening our faith, giving us boldness. And so we know it's great to pray together. We prayed tonight together. I'm sure we can improve on some ways to do that. But let me talk to you about a few things. You might want to put this statement in your notes there in the margin. It also enhances unity. It promotes unity. When you pray together, your hearts are going to be bound in unity. And that was really the truth in Acts, where chapter 1, verse 14, how they all prayed in one accord. I think prayer made it possible for them to be unified like they were. And so it shows unity, enhances it, and it also shows care one for another. Puts you on the same page. Prayer will do that. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. There's something this church did in its infancy that gave it power, and I think it's because, as it's telling us here, they continued steadfastly. I want to say prayer will keep you on task. It'll help you stay the course. And I believe a steadfast church will pray together. A steadfast church will pray together. Number two, pray privately. Write the word down. Privately is what you need. In addition to corporate prayer, every Christian should have a daily time of private praying. Matthew chapter 6, when thou prayest, enter and shalt not rather be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now watch this. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. That last phrase, reward thee openly, I want to tell you, that's blessings from above. Now if you want blessings here on the surface, then come up with your own religion. But if you want blessings from above, you got to pray. Now, church, we can make this into a business. You could get you a more effective CEO and manager. And we can do church corporately, effectively, in the sense of the model of building a business. It can be done, and it's being done all over this country. But it's not got blessings from above. Why? Church is not holy anymore. It's worldly. Churches are not seeing people getting saved. They're getting a crowd, but who's really getting saved? I'm trying to find the right word. I'm not trying to be rude or a know-it-all. I just know if you really want heavenly blessings, they're only found in private praying. They're found, I mean, it's almost like this, folks. If God is doing something in our midst, you know, we talk about our kids getting saved, and we've had some saved. We had a couple of baptisms not long ago. When you see blessings like this, you can mark her down, somebody's praying. We can say, oh, our church has got momentum. We got the new pastor. We've got new light bulbs in the ceiling. It's just the church is doing great. I'm going to tell you something. If the church is doing great, somebody's praying. Yes, sir. Amen. Somebody's praying. And may it be us. May it be the Wednesday night crowd right here that's going to commit 2020. We're going to pray and trust God because we know we can do church, have church. But hey, if we want blessings from above, the only place you get that, I got to go find someplace quiet, get on my face, and say to the Father in secret, oh God, I need thee. And our church needs thee. And when you go to the Father in private and you call on God like that, you're going to see heaven's blessings wonderfully portrayed and given to us in this church. But if you see it, somebody's praying. Somebody's praying. Oh, we've seen some wonderful things in our church this year. Yes! Somebody's praying. God's been good. God's been good. We need a new this, we need a new that. Well, it's time to pray. If we're going to have needs and see God meet those needs, it's time to pray. Now, I need to hear this from me as God helping me hear this so that I do that, that I pray. The other day, I had this thought, and I thought, boy, what kind of pastor I want to be in 2020, and some of those thoughts hit me the other day. And I thought, the greatest thing I can do for this church, I'm not saying that I've accomplished this. May God be my helper. And be honest as I know to be at this pulpit. But if I want to be a real blessing to y'all, I better find a place to pray. The greatest thing I can do to you is not preach the greatest sermons. It's when you're not around that I call your name out. And may God help me. Church, may God help me to do that. Because I cannot help you if I don't do that. Now, I put pressure on me. Sermon's all about me right now. Y'all can relax. Let's pray. Father, I feel right now that I need to come before Thee on the behalf of what I just said. Lord, my heart is that, Lord, You would help me to pray for this church. You being my helper, I want to pray for the ability, courage, the discipline, and the help of the Holy Spirit to pray for this church as I ought. Would you be my helper? I publicly, with all my heart, honestly pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In our study tonight, you'll also find this, that we also need to pray earnestly. Would you look at that? Last note on page 102, it's our last blank there. Pray earnestly. Now, what does it mean to pray earnestly? All right, what does it mean to pray earnestly? Well, we're avoiding religious exercise. And we're making it real. When you pray earnestly about something, you get rid of the fake. You get rid of the motions. Because it's like this, like a marriage. A marriage can either go through the motions or it can be real, you know. It can be words and rhetoric or it can be tender expressions, heartfelt actions. Praying earnestly is getting rid of the motions. Because we can all do that. That's easy. We can all put on the Sunday face and do our thing. But to pray earnestly means I've got to be real and I've got to pray what's on my heart. And I got to take my request to God And I don't take it lightly. The Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent. Don't miss those words. Effectual fervent. That means somebody who's meaning business. Somebody who says, I'm not going to let the devil run off with his plan and affect my family. I'm going to get a hold of the horns of the altar. I'm going to look into the eyes and the heart of a God who loves me. And I'm going to earnestly contend and pray and seek the face of God and lay hold to God until He comes through. We need some old stick-to-itiveness. And I mean heartfelt, earnestly. And if you have to, get with it and pour out your heart to God. If it leaves you sweating, if it leaves you worn out, you haven't done anything greater with all of your life and all of your week than earnestly contending and battling with God in prayer. Somebody's got to do it, or the devil's going to run off with everybody. I mean that. He'll run off with everybody if we don't earnestly pray. It's your only combat. It's your only power. It's your only hope. You're no match for the devil. I mean, we're weak compared to his power and strength. But aren't you glad greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? You've got to pray. It's your only source of power and help. So we refrain from vain repetitions. We pray to a Father who knows what we have need of before we even ask. So let's pray. Number 103, our page we're looking at. Look if you next one, please. It says, pray with a plan. Would you write the word plan in there? Jesus gives us this plan in the model prayer. We're going to go through it quickly, and I want you to watch this. Number one, he says, our Father which art in heaven. What does that mean? Pray with the confidence of your relationship as a father. You need to rehearse that in your mind, that the fact that you have a father, you could call him father, and that he loves you as a great father. Then he says, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? That's your worship of God. You're reflecting his name. Now, when you reflect someone's name, you're reflecting on who and what they mean to you. You're reflecting on their attributes. It'd be like with one of your spouses, with your spouse, speaking of you as plural, but as you're speaking to your spouse, you're saying to them, honey, thank you for you. You're so sweet. You're always kind. You always do everything for everybody, never thinking of yourself. And you just take a little time, you park there, and you start telling them their attributes and what they mean to you. And if you're on a date with your wife or your husband, you need to do that. You need to take the time and tell them, you're beautiful. I remember the first time I laid eyes on you, you know? Wow. And you still wow me. Let me tell you something. If you do that with your spouse, y'all going to have a great, great date. You're going to have a lovely time together. Sure beats throwing pots and pans at one another, you know, with the pressures of life. But if you do that, I'm going to it's a wonderful thing. It's going to enhance your relationship. You know what God needs you to do? God needs you to stop a little while and just look around and see what He's done for you and think about what He means to you and just start saying, Lord, Your name is holy. Your name is wonderful. There is no name greater than Your name. And just park and reflect on His glorious attributes, starting with His name, but just tell God how beautiful He is and how lovely He is and how powerful He is and how faithful He is and how glorious He is and how you can't wait to see Him one of these days face to face. Wouldn't that be a great thing to tell God? He needs you to reflect on His greatness. Hallowed be thy name, O God. You're such a wonderful God. Well, enjoy Him a little while. Then he says when you pray, say, kingdom come, thy kingdom come. What is that? That's praying, waiting on God's kingdom to be advanced. His kingdom is His will and His rule and His future plans. And you're saying, Lord, thy kingdom come. You know what you could do? You could watch the news and get plumb depressed. But you can go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I'm so glad You got all this figured out. And I'm glad your kingdom's coming. I'm glad one of these days Jesus Christ is going to be president of the world, of the universe. And I'm so glad he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Oh God, your kingdom, no man can force you out of office. No man can change your divine sovereign will. Lord, you have a wonderful kingdom, and it's coming. And I just want to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want to tell you, you pray like that, you won't get depressed anymore. Because God's got it all figured out. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What does he say? And pray with submission to God's will. Submission to God's will. Give us this day our daily bread. That's asking God to meet your basic and daily needs. I would add in here healing matters. We're praying for healing. Your child has a high fever. That's, in essence, that is in the category of daily bread. You're praying for daily needs. Daily, this child is sick. Lord, today I need you to touch my child. Daily provisions, financial needs. You're going to have them from time to time. These are your daily bread needs. Take them to God. Ask God to give you wisdom on how to do better with finances. Then he says this, forgive us our debts. Now what's our debts? It's your sins. You've wronged God. You owe him an apology. Seeking forgiveness and restoration. So forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, you don't harbor bitterness toward anyone. Great hindrance to prayer and worship is harboring bitterness. God says, get that out of your system. Now, I want you to turn to the next page, 104. 104, and I want you to see this, and I'm going to close with this. He says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is that praying for? Lead us not into temptation. You're asking God for his leadership. You're also asking God for his deliverance. Now, what does that mean? It's not that God would ever lead you to temptation, but the ideal is, Lord, in your leading my life, I understand that I need your help. Because I can fall into temptation. I could be at the wrong place at the wrong time, looking at the wrong thing or thinking about the wrong thing. I have that tendency. It's not God's tendency, it's my tendency. So since it's my tendency and I've got an old thing called the flesh, I need you to lead me away from that, away from the evil. Okay? So here's what you're asking for. Lord, lead me away from this stuff. I'm asking for your leading. Now, if you want to be a know-it-all, and you don't need God's leading, and you think you've got it, you can handle it, you're the one that's going to fall. But if I'm careful to say, God, I need your leading, that I don't fall into temptation. Now I'm humble. I'm not a know-it-all. I know my flesh is prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. And so since I know these tendencies and the prunings that are in my life, I am now asking God for his help. Let me tell you this. You've got to have that. And then you're saying, but deliver us from evil. So I need deliverance. There is evil that's stalking me, and I need deliverance. There's evil, sometimes it gets bound up in my heart, and I've got to have deliverance. Now let me say this. Overcoming temptation toward evil is a regular and necessary battle that only is won in prayer. Write that down. That's a good quote. Listen to me now. Overcoming temptation and evil is a regular and necessary battle that has to be won in prayer. Every Christian battles evil. Every Christian. Every Christian, I don't care how long you've been saved, every Christian has to battle evil. Temptation's always going to be in your path. Always. Nobody's ever exempt from that. Preachers are not exempt from that. You know that. But every Christian knows how to battle. And he's got to stay on the firing line when it comes to this thing of temptation and evil. And he has to fight. Any ground you have, you've got to fight for it. Never lay down your armor as to thinking you've arrived and you no longer have problems with evil. No. You keep that armor on and you stay vigilant, because if anything, you've got an adversary, the devil, who seeketh whom he may devour. And because of the fact that as a Christian, living here on earth, I'm always going to have to battle evil. I've got to have this in my mindset. Lord, daily as I pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Successful Christians, victorious Christians, they are constantly being led and constantly being delivered. If you're going to overcome sin, you got to be led, you got to be delivered. Two requirements for every victorious Christian. I got to be led and I got to be delivered. I got to be led because I'm a wandering sheep. I got to be delivered because sometimes it gets bound in my heart and bound in my life. And the only hope you've got is to be following God's leading and getting His deliverance. So I want to exhort everybody in here. There's no such thing as goody-two-shoes, got it figured out, always holy Christians. No! We're always in the battle. You're always are contending with the flesh. You always need God's leading, and I always need God's deliverance. If I don't have His leading, if I don't have His deliverance, I haven't got a prayer. I'm not going to make it. I can't be holy. It doesn't come natural. I've got to have help from above. It's just like seeing blessings in the church. You can either do it yourself or you can have God's blessings. Well, you can either be a legalistic, got it figured out, rules and regulations Christian, or I can be a real Christian knowing the leading of God and the power of God who's delivered me from day to day. Now, get real. You're in the battle. I'm in the battle. Learn to look at your friends and say, how goes the battle? Can you do that? We're all Christian. Yeah, it means we're all fighting, striving, surviving against evil. Nobody ever arrives. Do you know I've had to have revival in my life? I got gloriously saved back in yonder in 1984. I've had to have another revival and another revival. Come 10 years later, another revival. I've had a series of revivals. So what do you mean? Get saved again? No. You get saved once. I got eternal life once. And it's still working. But I've had to have a revival again and again and again and again and again. Where God says, clean that up. Stop that. No, no, no. You don't let that go on like that. You go ahead and bridge the gap. You go tell that person you're sorry. You make that right. You get back on your distance. My father has been my parent for a long, long time, and he never stops parenting. Well, I'm a grown-up now. There's no such thing as grown-up Christians. You don't grow up and leave the house. You're always under the watch care of a heavenly, holy Father who's going to always help you overcome this thing called evil. Glad is the day when Jesus comes again. And we're raptured out of here. And you know what's going to happen when we rapture out of here? This old world of the flesh is going to fall off. And I'll never have to worry about sin, never have to worry about disappointment, never have to worry about betrayal and jealousy and dirty thoughts. All of that rotten, roasted, nasty flesh is going to fall off of me, and I'm going to find myself in the glory of God, gloriously changed in His image, and having a glorified body that will never, ever sin again. I say, even so, come, O Lord Jesus. Don't you long for that day? You say, well, I don't really think about it, you know. If you're in the battle, you long for that day. You're sick of the battle. You get tired and weary. You always got to go to church to get your batteries charged. Why? You're in the battle. But one of these days, the battle's going to be over. One of these days, it's going to be wonderful to have a relationship with God that's never interrupted. It's going to be glorious. My father-in-law, Dr. Paul Kinnearum, is already experiencing what he used to pray for. I remember we had prayer devotions at his home, and he one time prayed this prayer. We're all in the living room together. And he said, Father, I look forward to the day when we have that sweet relationship never interrupted. Uninterrupted fellowship. That was prayed probably 20 years ago. I still remember it. And I thought, Lord, He's right. I have a sweet relationship with Christ, but it's always interrupted. Always interrupted. And he prayed, God, I look forward to the day of uninterrupted sweet fellowship. Do you know He's experiencing it right now? No more interruption. No more flesh. He's in the glory and the wonderful praise and sweet righteousness of Jesus. And he's already experiencing it. One day it's going to be ours. I need to pick up my jacket because it's going to get dirty if it stays there. Anyway, all right. So, Christian, stay in the battle. And here's how you do it. Ask for God's leading and ask for his deliverance. Ask for his leading. Lord, I'm struggling. Ask for his leading. He'll lead you and he'll deliver you. Lord, the sin is just overwhelming. No, it's not overwhelming to God. Ask for his leading. Ask for his deliverance. You can be victorious. It's my mouth. I just speak my mind. Ask for God's leading. Ask for his deliverance. 2020 may be your greatest year because you simply put this equation together. I want God's leading and I want God's deliverance. That's what I need to pray for. Life's going to take on a great change this year.